crazy, do the mama like crazy. And hey, mambo, don't wanna tarantella. Hey, mambo, no more mozzarella. Hey, mambo, italiano, try an enchilada with a fish and baccalade.
Oh, yeah, you take a little mambo with Bette Midler. Bette Midler and Hey Mambo. I like that song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis. By the way, he selected that song. Isn't that a good song? Bette Midler is one of the best entertainers. If you ever go out to see her, she's funny. She tells a lot of dirty jokes. Did you know that? She's very big on the dirty jokes. But she's funny.
She's very big on hating Trump, too.
Yeah, she is that. Well, we thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, March the 6th already. We're going to be talking in a couple of minutes with Rachel Gresler of the Heritage Foundation about the economic effect of federal family paid leave, something she calls unsustainable. So stay tuned for that. And U.S. job growth soaring in February. I mean, big time. While the stock market remains very shaky, there's more concern over the effects of the coronavirus. We'll talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll about, first of all, about that, and also about pro-Trump businesses locally here, their chance right now to get behind the president. Andrew is very, very big on that, so stay tuned for that. And while Washington, D.C. may be underreporting crime in their city, New York City is seeing a surge of it. Now, what is going on? We're going to talk about that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 all-time worst world leaders. You will want to stay around for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best haircutting place for you guys in Tampa Bay. It's located in Dunedin on Overcash Drive, just north of Main Street, State Road 580. And they're open, by the way, Tuesday through Saturday. Get in there. Get the best haircut in town. All right. We got a lot of things going on, as per usual. I can't wait to talk with Rachel Gresler about this. They keep bringing up paid family leave on a federal basis. Is that even what our federal government is supposed to get its fingers into? But we're going to find out about the effects of it, so stay tuned for that. Now, U.S. job growth has really gone through the roof again. U.S. hiring topped expectations in February. The labor market added 273,000 new jobs. That's great. And it'll be interesting to see with the coronavirus how jobs are affected for the month of March. But unemployment in February went down slightly, now at 3.5% nationwide. That's a half century low. The average hourly earnings rose by 9 cents to $28.52. That's the average hourly earnings for the average person in this country. The payroll number went by the estimate quite easily. They estimated we get about 175,000 new jobs in February. We got 273, about 100,000 more. So that's great. It's the 113th month of straight gains. 113th straight month of gains. Can you imagine that? 113 straight months?
Yeah, Paul, but minimum wage needs to be $15 an hour.
Yes.
It's poverty. Bernie,
we got Bernie complaining about how unemployment is not, it's not working for the average person.
Well, and they're saying, too, that it has to raise to $15 an hour. Can you imagine how many small businesses would be put out of business?
Oh, yeah.
You doubled the wages right away.
Why does not anybody think past their nose on that? If you raise somebody's wages, that means you got to raise the price of the product they're selling. Or the guy can't make the profit. That's simple math. So if they raise the price, for instance, the minimum wage in a restaurant, you're going to pay more for your meal.
Or you got to cut people and have people do two jobs.
That's exactly what happens. They start cutting because people do indeed slow down. That means they got to cut back on people. Crazy. Anyway, it's good news on the job growth front. And by the way, the gains were across the board. Healthcare was doing very well. Social assistance is what they call, you know, helping other people medically, et cetera, and the elderly and the shut-ins. Social assistance is up. In medical social assistance, 57,000 new positions. Healthcare alone accounted for 32,000. Physicians, we got 10,000 more physicians. Home health care services, 10,000 more. Hospitals, 8,000 more. Food services and beverages, 53,000 people more. And of course, our favorite employer, the government, added 42,000 jobs. Yeah, we want more people in Washington, don't we? We need more people in Washington. I don't think so. Why don't they leave and get into the private sector? Get a real job, right?
I have a feeling this election term, there are going to be a few that are going to have to get a job, a real job.
Yeah. We're hoping, right? We're hoping. You know, Bernie Sanders, I mean, God love him. I don't think he's ever held a, ever since he got out of school, he has been on somebody else's dole. Probably the government's, you know, mainly, but, and then he's going to go around and tell everybody else about work? I don't think so. Okay, why don't we take our little break? We're going to speak with Rachel Gresler, and we're going to talk about one more bureaucratic snafu in our opinion, federal paid family leave.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
Hey, we are back and delighted to have Rachel Gresler join us. She is a research fellow in economics, budget, and entitlement. I should say, yes, in economics, budget, and entitlement at the Heritage Foundation. And she has penned a piece about the fiscal effects of federal paid family leave. Rachel, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, and it happens to be an issue I'm very interested in. I've always thought that it is none of the federal government's business as to what benefits an employer might offer his or her employees. And, you know, in many cases, it's because of employers that we have health care insurance. And if a business wants to offer those kinds of incentives and paid family leave, God love them. But why should the federal government, and in fact, where in the Constitution does it allow the federal government to mandate that?
Well, certainly not in the Constitution, but as you pointed out, employers are providing these things, and they're providing the benefits that workers want, because if they don't provide what workers want, then they can't compete and attract the workers that they need and keep them there. And so we have seen a big increase in the number of employer-provided paid family leave programs, specifically after passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, because that freed up resources that they had available so that they could provide those benefits. And now is the time that these programs are expanding in the private sector. And so it's kind of ironic that this is when the Democrats are looking to implement a federal program that would implement a one-size-fits-all policy and crowd out those ones that are already there in the private sector.
Yes, exactly. And now it's called what, the Family Act, and it would give up to 3 months of partially paid family and medical leave. Is that what it's all about?
Yes, and this is actually starting out as a modest program. I think that's the Democrats' strategy. It's a smart start relatively small. It's called the Family Act. It's a 0.4 percentage point payroll tax on workers. And so they call it this cup of coffee a week program, implying that it will be easily affordable. It'll be accessible to everybody. You can get up to 12 weeks of benefits, but those benefits are only 66% of your pay. So it's not 100%. The problem is that over time, those benefits, which the program would not be able to finance those benefits, and it particularly would not be able to help low income workers.
I know, and you know what's so sad about all of this, Rachel, is that both Democrats and Republicans are talking about this kind of thing. I mean, and you mentioned both conservative and liberal lawmakers mm-hmm. are looking for ways to expand access to paid family and medical leave. What is going on with the Republicans and the conservative thought here?
You know, I think they want to be pro-family and want to do something to help families. But the reality is, if you start a one-size-fits-all government program, it's first of all not going to meet workers' needs. It's going to expand in size and scope over time. It's going to end up costing the average family somewhere between $1,500 and $3,000 a year, and that's money that they can't do whatever is best for their family with. And you don't end up with something that's helping families, but instead with something that's hurting them. Whereas if you leave this to employers and let the workers tell the employers what they want, they can come up with more flexible and accommodating policies at a lower cost. And those are policies that actually meet the workers' needs. We're actually seeing how this would play out in places. There's some states in the U.S. that have these, like Washington. It just started a new program, and workers are supposed to wait a week until you can apply for benefits, and then you apply, and then it's supposed to be another 4 or so weeks before you get those benefits. But the reality is workers are waiting for 10 weeks. Now, who has, you know, 10 to 12 weeks worth of their salary saved up to sit there and wait and see if they're even going to get a benefit from the government? And so just the administrative hassle of these, and who wants to go to a bureaucratic agency instead of just sending an email to their boss to say, hey, I need to take a week off, or I need to take 6 weeks off, whatever it is, and work that out on their own.
Of course. We're talking with Rachel Gressler. She is a research fellow, and she specializes in things like economics, budget, and entitlement for the Heritage Foundation. She's written a piece, The Fiscal Effects of a Federal Paid Family Leave Program. You know, Rachel, why can't a business sue, go to the courts and say, you know what, this is unconstitutional? I would like to see somebody run it through the courts. I want to see them explain how the federal government can tell you. You know, I don't think it's, of course, I thought that about health care mandate. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong about that. They turned it into a tax and said, yes, you know, the federal government has the constitutional authority to levy. Well, that's no tax. You know.
Well, and that's how they structure these, and that's how they structure the Family Act, is it's just like Social Security. It's a new federal entitlement, and the CBO budget analysis that came out this week showed that it's actually an unfunded federal entitlement, because within 1 year of those benefits being paid, there would not be enough money coming in order to actually pay out all the leave requests that were there. And so you can see how over time this is going to expand in cost. You know, Social Security was once 2% of our payroll. Now it's 12.4%, and it's scheduled to go up to 16.6% if we're actually going to pay the benefits that we've told people we will. And the same thing will be true of the Family Act. 0.4% of your payroll might sound small, but if you start increasing that up to sevenfold is what some economists have estimated it would truly cost, that's taking away a big chunk of workers' paychecks that they can't do what they want with, and it's taking money from employers that they can't provide benefits to their workers.
When are we ever going to learn that if you leave it in the free market, all of these things come along and they work terrific? I mean, you know that people are going to take advantage of this and take time off when they don't.
You have legitimate needs for people to take leave, but when the employer knows the person, they know what those leave needs are. When it's a bureaucracy and you're just sending off forms to somebody in the government, they don't know what those unique needs are, and they don't know if it's legitimate or not legitimate. And, you know, according to this score, either taxes have to go up or the government has to start rationing benefits. And are they going to ration them in a fair way, in an efficient way?
This is called the Family Act. It's technically, I guess, Family and Medical Insurance Leave Act. What are the chances, Rachel, that it's going to get through? And if it gets through, is President Trump going to sign it?
It's not going to get through, certainly, within the rest of this year. If you had both houses of Congress controlled by the Democrats, it might get through, and probably President Trump would sign it because he has expressed some support for some form of a paid family and medical leave act. But, you know, one of the hidden things about this whole push for paid family and medical leave is that everybody says it's so that we can help the low-income workers who don't have access to this. But the reality is, across the world, these programs are regressive, and they end up redistributing money away from low-income workers into middle and upper-income ones. And that's because if you're low-income, you're less likely to know about the program, you're less likely to be eligible to receive benefits, and you can't get by on a 66% paycheck. You need 100% of your paycheck to keep paying your bills. So this is not going to end up helping those workers that they're trying to. So I think it's time to go back to the drawing board and better leave this up to the private sector.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, if you've got a certain amount of employees and you've got this mandate and it's going to cost you more money, guess who are the ones that, if you got to make some cuts, guess who are the ones that suffer? It's always the ones at the bottom of the employment rolls, the first hired, first fired kind of philosophy, right?
Yeah, and also this could lead to discrimination, particularly against young women who are the most likely to take leave.
Yeah, very unfair. So it's kind of good news. You say that it's not going to get through this year, but it seems like it's kind of a ticking time bomb. It sounds like, let's say Trump is reelected, that it might be even something he touts. This is kind of scary. Now, I don't think he's really a conservative anyway, kind of a populist. You know, really, he is. He talks about, like with health care. I have not heard him say, we got to keep it in the private sector. Why not? Well, he's not, I guess he doesn't buy into that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know his policies on health care, but, you know, I am a little bit troubled by his approach to paid family leave, because I do think that, you know, especially as an employer himself, that he would understand the need for workers and employers to be able to work these policies out on their own.
Now, of course, we read the story a little earlier, Rachel, that, you know, the economy is still booming despite the fears right now with the coronavirus. Employment numbers are terrific for the month of February. It may change in March. So I guess you can play around a little bit when you got that much employment. It means that more money is coming into the federal government, blah, blah, blah. And they get a little more confident, I guess, when they start, you know, talking about all of these kind of social benefits, right? I mean, even with Social Security, like you mentioned, you know, that's a bit of a time bomb too, isn't it? We're going to, We're not going to be able to fund it. We've got all of the baby boomers that are starting to suck money out of it.
Yeah, well, and that's the scary thing, is that even as strong as our economy is today, we still have massive deficits. And with Social Security, I don't think most people realize that every dollar that workers are paying into the system today is immediately going out the door to current retirees. And then on top of that, we're having to cash in on those paper IOUs that are sitting in a trust fund. So Social Security is already adding to our deficit. It's just that we have this notional pot of money there, as I said, that's really paper that we're able to draw down on.
You know, years ago, Rachel, by the way, again, we're talking with Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation. Years ago, they talked about how, okay, yeah, you're paying into Social Security. It goes into a special fund. It's going to go into a special fund where it gains interest. So we bought into it. We thought, oh, good. So that when I retire, the interest is going to build on the Social Security, and there'll be even more money in there. Well, that's nonsense. Every penny that comes into the government goes in, I think, one big pot. They just pull from it whenever they want.
Exactly, and that's why Social Security is actually a terrible deal for current workers, because it guarantees you a negative rate of return. You put your money in, it goes out the door, and you don't even get inflation over time because it's spent immediately. You know, we told people that it would be there for them in retirement, but it may not be. And we actually have no legal right to those benefits. Congress could eliminate the program tomorrow, and people would be left with nothing. You know, they're not going to do that. But it's not something that we own or that we have any legal right to.
Now, you say in your piece, again, the physical effects of a federal paid family leave program, policymakers should consider flexible and accommodating policies. Now, do you mean that they should allow some government involvement in benefits for,
No, I think they... That's more looking to what ways can the government scale back current regulations and prohibitions that it's putting that are prohibiting these types of policies. And so one of those is, if you pass the Working Families Flexibility Act, all that would do, it would allow private sector employers to give their workers the choice between accumulating overtime pay or what we call comp time. So if you work an extra 2 hours 1 week, you can choose 3 hours worth of pay, or you can choose 3 hours worth of paid leave in the future. And so this is something that would particularly benefit low-income workers, who are the ones we're trying to help the most. And yet, this is not something that Democrats are willing to support, because it's taking away, you know, the private sector's ability to provide something.
Yeah, in other words, we don't want to give you no stinking choice.
Exactly.
You know,
because they know best that what you need is pay,
when
to a lot of people, they'd much rather have paid time off.
Right. Rachel, it's a pleasure talking with you about this. Keep up the good fight, will you, at the Heritage Foundation?
I'll try. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Rachel Gressler. Okay. Yeah, you know, I don't know about, why doesn't Donald Trump kind of get over to the conservative side when it comes to those kinds of government-mandated benefits? That scares me a little bit. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, on how local businesses that are pro-Trump can get in the fight to support the guy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Viking encampment, pit of misery, escape room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Experience the Viking invasion. Test your aim in the Florida State Longbow Championships. Enter your face in the Barbarian Beard Competition. Take part in the Viking Costume Contest. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Joust, do it!
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, daylight savings this Sunday. I don't like daylight savings, actually. I know I'm probably in the minority. I like the extra hour to sleep because I'm lazy. Maybe that's it. But we got why is it we only got about 5 months now of standard time? What's going on with the rule?
I don't understand why, because the dangerous part is you're putting all the kids waiting for school buses in the dark.
In the dark.
I don't get it.
I don't either. It used to be... didn't they say something about, was it for the farmers that they were doing it? Oh, I mean, I don't even remember the real reason they even started that thing.
What brainiac came up with that anyway?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, we're delighted to have the proprietor of the only poll that really matters, the Barber Poll, with us, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew is on a bit of a mission. He is leading an effort to get local businesses that already support Donald Trump and back him to start showing their support at their businesses. Have I got that right, Andrew?
Oh, you got it right. Believe me.
Tell us.
I started with Trump the day he announced he was going to run for the presidency.
Big time. Big time.
And, at that point when I first started, I probably lost about 30% of my business.
Really? 30?
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. That was at first, And as time went on, the Democrats are they wouldn't come in the shop. I'm not supporting this man. Da, 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 da. Now, the Republicans, they think differently. Okay, they could care less if the person's a Democrat. They're going to go in there and take business or whatever.
Right.
That doesn't affect them. But the Democrats are very spiteful, vengeful people. We're not here to support this person. Who the hell does he think he is supporting this man? But, since I moved my location and restarted, in a new location,
right,
and people know my reputation, that I do support Donald Trump. There's no question about it. And I let it be known in the shop.
Okay.
My business, now I got that 30% back, okay? And I would say in the last month and a half, I had four liberals walk in my barbershop, see all my Trump stuff, and walk out and say something flighty. Not that I cared. Okay.
Yes.
Their $10 wasn't going to make a difference to me one way or the other.
Right.
All right. But you won't see a Republican do this. They just don't have that type of a personality.
So in other words, what you're saying is that if somebody walks into, say, a restaurant that's kind of with liberal people in it, and you're wearing a Make America Great hat again, nice red hat, that there is a bigger chance, if you're a Trumper, that you're going to get a negative reaction and maybe some violence or threats than if it was the other way around, if you walked in with a Bernie for President hat on in a normal business.
Right, we would just laugh if they walked in my shop and we'd try and convert them.
Okay. Yes, you would.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But the people that are in business that support the president really need to stick together. And the people that vote for our president need to support these businesses that are pushing the president. Because we need help just like everybody else does to get this and get a win to where we got to get going or everybody's going to win.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, the proprietor of the only poll that matters, the Barber Poll. Andrew, so what should businesses do? Are you going to have meetings or are you just...
This is what I'd like to do. First of all, I'd like to get the Republicans that back Trump to quit being afraid and start speaking up about this.
Okay.
A lot of them are afraid, well, we want to take the money. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have some principles in life. You got to stand up for what you believe. The Democrats will boycott you. They could care less. So we need the Republican support to keep our businesses going and support our president.
Well, it does take a little courage. Even for people, I've always thought that if you put like a Make America Great Again bumper sticker on your car, you better make sure where you're parked.
But you're right, because these people, they have no morals. They could care less. It's like I told you, the millennials today, they're the ones causing all this, too, most of them. Okay? Your millennials today They are the most ruthless, vengeful, spiteful little whatever they are in this country we've ever seen. We've never seen a generation like this.
You're anti-millennial.
Oh, you know, I see a bunch of millennials. And as far as I'm concerned, they should have brought back the draft, you know, just about 8 years ago for all these people.
I see.
Because that would have, to me, would have made men out of them again, or women, whatever. But today we got a bunch of little kids that think they're entitled to everything, don't know what the word work means, and when they do work, just like Bernie Sanders, he wants to give $15 an hour minimum wage. You know what? How stupid they are. Minimum wage jobs, when we were they were meant for kids to learn work ethics.
Of course.
Flipping hamburgers wasn't meant to be a career. What, do you want to be a burger flipper all your life?
Exactly right. Come on.
This was to teach kids work ethics, all right? Pumping gas, bagging groceries, flipping hamburgers. Now you got a 60-year-old guy, and I'm going to retire from this job. I've been doing it 30 years. You probably got carpal tunnel from flipping the hamburgers.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, okay? And then Bernie with he wants his $15 an hour minimum wage. Well, how stupid are these people? You get $15 an hour, which comes up to just about $31,000 a year or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make over $29,000 a year, he wants to tax you 52%.
He ought to run
it comes to $7.10 an hour.
Bernie ought to, because he's never been in the private sector, but he ought to run a business, hire a lot of people, and let's watch exactly what he does to get his profits up. He'll do
and then, you know, mm-hmm. And then everybody today, if they work somewhere, they want this, but I want 5 weeks vacation. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. You know what? People need to run a business to find out what it takes to make a profit.
We were just
talking. Before they start saying,
yeah,
we want this, we want that. You know, just like you guys were talking about this 12 weeks family
leave.
Whatever.
Yeah, federal pay.
Come on, man, give me a break. What the hell do you need a 12-week family leave for to be paid?
I know.
You know, in the old days when there was a family crisis, the family took care of it. The grandparents got old. They didn't throw them in a nursing home. The family took care of them.
True. You're right. They were much more involved in the lives of their own people. They
And this all comes from the breakdown of the family, Paul.
You're right about
it. Like I said before, what family? The most confusing holiday in this country is Father's Day. Nobody knows who the hell their father is.
Yeah, it's very sad, isn't it? On another topic, President Trump is in Tennessee today. He's visiting parts of that state, the volunteer state that were hit by those tornadoes. Gosh, there was over 20 people killed. Maybe it's 24 now. But he's such a ball of energetic fire, isn't he? I mean, he just keeps going.
Oh, this guy is doing such a great job. I mean, I don't see how people can even say anything. The only thing is you got your deep state against this guy. You know, he threw a wrench into everything they were trying to do, bringing this country down.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for Donald Trump, we're going to be a third world country in 5 years.
He is just, and on the coronavirus, I think he's doing a good job. I think he's trying to be rational. He's not screaming about it. I think he wants to tamp it down.
There's no reason to. It's the people that panic. Paul, I see it in my shop alone in the last couple of weeks. You know, I'd have a lot of elderly customers. They're afraid to come out of the house because the media created such a panic. Let's face the facts. The ordinary flu killed more people than it's ever dreamed of. I mean, what don't people understand about statistics? There was what? I don't know what they are right now, but there was 80,000 people infected throughout the world, and 3,000 people died. I mean, that's nothing.
In comparison, you're right. In comparison
to
the influenza.
There's 300 million people in our country, and I think it was 64 or 54,000 people died from the flu last year. Now, I don't know what the population of the world is, but 80,000 and 3,000 dying doesn't seem too bad odds for me. I think I would take those odds.
You know, Pryor Smith, who does the Canadian news at 9 and noon, he said, he opened up with this. He said, the coronavirus has now hit 37 infected in a nation of 37 million.
That's in Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
Is there 37 people?
37 out of 37 million.
Yeah, that's pretty good in Canada. Yeah. They must be doing something
and
right.
And they haven't closed their borders.
No, right. Now, let me ask you something, Andrew. Would you think twice about going to the airport to get on a plane right now?
Well, Paul, you know, right now at this point, it's flu season, okay?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's a coronavirus or the regular flu. I mean, if I had to do something, yeah, I would do it. If I didn't have to, I would put it off because
right.
I don't want to get the flu no matter what.
Well, that's a good answer. I think people are very concerned. I mean, I wonder, it seems like it's affecting transportation, especially airplane flight right now. It may even be affecting, and Ed can talk to this, it may even be affecting sports crowd sizes.
Ed, well, they sent me an email yesterday for the cruise lines, man. You get 80% off on a cruise.
That's another thing. Would you get on a cruise right now? Would you go, would you take a free take a free trip?
No.
And, no.
Actually, in the news this morning, a vendor at an XFL game has tested positive for the coronavirus.
Really?
Yeah. Well, but they don't believe anybody was infected because it was after, well, after whatever.
But you know what? That's kind of scary, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, the guy's interacting with people that are coming into the stadium.
I know people want to blame Trump for this, but actually, one of the news idiots yesterday had somebody on. I guess it's somebody in Tampa's got the virus, and she documented her trip. She said, "I was in Italy. I was feeling bad. You know, I was starting to. I got on a plane and I came home. Why did you get on the plane? And you know, if you've there's even a chance you've got it." She didn't explain that part.
Yeah,
they didn't even ask that part. What are you doing getting on a plane?
People are stupid. Why would you travel with the flu?
Exactly, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they never ask that question.
They're more selfish than stupid. I mean, if you have the flu and you're going into an airport, are you kidding me? Yeah. You're going to infect somebody.
No, it was just like that one Democrat girl the other day says, "I hope I get this virus because I'm going to go to the Trump rallies."
Well,
these people are nuts.
Can we hope she gets the virus but doesn't go to the rally?
There you go.
We do not wish that on anybody. I don't want to be like Schumer. Did you see did you see what Chucky Schumer did?
Yes, I did.
Did you see about him ranting and raving?
Against the Supreme Court justice. Well, he mentions their names. He wasn't talking about the whole thing.
Yeah, he was threatening Neil Gorsuch Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, the two newest Supreme Court
justices. Well, you know, Paul, nothing's going to happen with that because he's Chuck Schumer. Well, they can say what they want. You know, there's two sets of rules. You and I both know that.
Yeah.
Well, if a Republican said that, they could impeach him, throw them out. We can't have them.
Right.
You know? The Republicans need to start opening their mouths a little bit. They need to do something about this stuff, Paul.
Well, actually, McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has called out Schumer on the Senate floor for his warning that the Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh would, quote, pay the price for decisions on abortion. McConnell says, quote, there's nothing to call this except a threat. You know, they ought to do a... they ought to take him, you know, before the well. What's the word when you castigate somebody in the Senate? I can't think of the term, but you know, they ought to do an official castigation of Schumer, where he has to stand there and listen while people come up to the dais and talk about what he did.
They should stone him.
Well, they do that right after. They do that right after.
They should stone him. these people are a bunch of morons. Oh, and again, like I tell you. You got Biden running, and you know what I think about Biden, what's going to happen with that. I still say I see Hillary coming up as the VP.
You have mentioned some of these things. That would be very, very, very interesting. I wonder if he won't go for an African-American woman, because that would be – because he's got that – although he is – Biden is got the support of the black community already, so maybe he doesn't need that, but maybe a female.
I'm telling you. I think you're going to see
Hillary's
come out of the world. I think it's
Hillary's
a setup.
A female, yeah.
I think it's a setup. You see Biden with his mind. I question, is this an act that he's doing right now for further down the road, or is he really getting messed up? You don't know.
I think I tried to talk Biden into bringing on Elizabeth Warren on the ticket.
Not going to work.
Well, I know
the only person that's going to draw a crowd with Biden is going to be Hillary Clinton.
Well, the reason I was saying that is because it would help Trump. That's the only reason I said that.
Well, you know, at this point, I really don't think Trump needs help. We just got to make sure we get off our rear ends and all go vote. And if he's got all the people motivated enough, they're ready to vote right now.
Okay, I'm looking at the stock market right this moment, Andrew. It's 431 points down. Yesterday, I think it was close to 1,000 points down. It's still scared. We got to turn that around. I think people, for me, I'm more concerned about the stock market than I am about the coronavirus.
Well, at this point, You know, when steaks are on sale for $3.99 a pound for T-bone steaks, everybody runs to the store and buys,
well,
don't they?
It's a very good buying experience. Yes, it is a buying environment, and people should be buying. Yes, I agree.
That's right. I mean, it's a buying thing. The stock market is the only thing people don't buy when it's on sale.
Well, I'm going to come by your wonderful establishment. I'm going to talk to President Trump because he stands right there. I've had conversations with him before, although he does not respond. But I'm going to come over there today, and I've got a few things to tell him.
You got it, Paul. You guys have a good weekend, buddy.
Thanks. As always, we'll talk to you next week, Andrew.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, the master barber himself. All right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, did you know that D.C., Washington, D.C., may be under-reporting crime? In the meantime, New York City, the Big Apple, they're seeing a surge in crime. We're going to talk about it.
And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, baby. And it keeps it out of sight.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
The largest aerospace expo in the South, Sun and Fun, returns to the skies of Lakeland March 31st through April 5th. It's not just an air show, it's everything aviation in 2020. Walk among hundreds of aircraft and be amazed at air shows with breathtaking aerobatic displays by the world's top pilots. See mighty warbirds in flight, from vintage bombers to modern fighter jets, and feel the heat of a 1,000-foot wall of fire. Plus, new for 2020, our STEM-tastic pavilion with dozens of interactive activities for all ages. Oh, and let's not forget the precision flying of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. Take advantage of the Florida Resident Weekend Special, Saturday, April 4th and Sunday, April 5th, and get three shows for the price of one. Come Saturday, stay for the night air show with its amazing Star Dance Spectacular Drone Light Show, aerobatic flyers, plus a fireworks display. Then return Sunday for an additional show for free. Children under 10 are free, so make plans to bring the whole family and experience the past, present, and future of aviation at the Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. Visit us at flysnf.org.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works. By the way, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to us at your leisure because Big Ed puts us on podcast. And so anytime when you feel like it, ourfreedomworks.com. All right, there's a crime surge in New York City. Newly released stats show a big jump in crime. Major crime grew 22.5% in February compared to the same month a year earlier. And that included a 7.1% increase in shootings. Also increases in robbery, assault, burglary, grand larceny, and auto crimes. The only positive was murders. They were down 20%. Now, police officials blame criminal justice reforms. Isn't that the city that is now releasing people without bail? Well, what do you expect when you're sending these habitual criminals back without posting bail? Many of them would be in prison because they wouldn't afford it. But if you're sending everybody out without posting bail, don't you think it's going to increase crime? That's crazy. You know, that's really crazy. Also, in Washington, D.C., there is a chance they are under-reporting crime. A whistleblower from the police department there is openly talking about crime under-reporting, and she says she has watched it go on inside the department. She says, I was surprised. I didn't want to believe it. She's a 15-year vet of the police department. She's been honored for her service. She's going public because she's very concerned. She says, you know, you have to No, I shouldn't say that she says this, but yeah, indeed, she did. She says, you know, you have to have courage to sometimes take a stand for things to change. And hopefully this will be the start of something different. She says her supervisors are ordering investigators to downgrade crime classifications and taking more serious crimes and reducing them to less serious crimes. She says she calls herself a whistleblower. You know, I would think it does take guts, especially in the police department, to call out your superiors. You don't know if you're going to have a job. They'll assign you to some lousy thing, you know, if you do that. Apparently, she's taken a big gamble to do it. She's been there for a while. Very interesting. Okay, before we go to our top 10, which, by the way, is a good one, top 10 worst world leaders, I want to talk with Big Ed because we got some sports catching up to do, Ed. I noticed we've got two teams that we're kind of worried about right now here in Tampa Bay. Well, there's three. I guess we can worry about the XFL team. You just mentioned something about the virus and the XFL league. But we got the Lightning. We're getting towards the end of the we're getting close to the playoffs, aren't we?
Yeah.
And the Lightning.
6 weeks.
Yeah. Now, the Lightning hosted Boston, then they lost. Mm-hmm. And then they hosted, was it Montreal? They won last night. So they're looking pretty good. They got one guy. One of their main guys, Stamkos, may not be around until the playoffs.
Right, 6 weeks he's out. 4 to 6 weeks anyway. Well, and it's Saturday night. They have to go to Boston, and they got to find a way to get Boston out of their head. It's kind of like the Bucks got over the Eagles, you know, and went on to win. Boston kind of bullies them around a little bit, so maybe they go. It'd be nice because it would be a 4-point swing if they go up there.
So that could be a heck of a game to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to tune in.
Big game to watch. Okay, now, what about the Rays? First of all, when I talk to people who don't know about it, and I say, did you know that the Tampa Bay Rays may play half their games in Montreal? They go, what? What are you talking about? Because it's such a strange deal. Now, are we any further along with what they're going?
No, that's 2028. So that's like 7 or 8 years away. So... You know, Tampa Mayor, what's her name over there? She's wanting to open talks again with them and see if they can reignite
Mayor Caster.
The bottom line is they need a stadium with a roof, a retractable roof, and they can't afford it.
And who's going to pay for it, you know?
That's the thing. They want taxpayers to pick up more than half the bill.
If Tampa Mayor Jane Caster wants them over there, who's going to fund their, you know, has she thought about who's going to pay for the stadium? You know, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. Okay. Very good, Ed. Take off your sports hat and put on your drum hat, because we got a good one. This is the top 10 worst world leaders. Worst world leaders. And for those of you that hate Donald Trump, he's not one of them. This comes from topcount.co. Topcount.co. So, you know, this is very subjective, right? Mm-hmm. So don't put all your eggs in one basket on this one, but just for fun. Top 10 world worst leaders. Number 10, Pol Pot. Do you remember that name, Ed?
Nope.
Cambodia?
Nope.
Pol Pot was the leader of Cambodia, and more people died under his reign. It was a communist party at the time, I mean, communist country at the time, and the group called the Khmer Rouge. And they went around killing people. It was horrible. He killed a large section of the entire population. Number 9. And I don't know why this guy isn't up towards the top. Joe Stalin of Russia. Mm-hmm. You've heard of him, of course. By the way, he lived a life of luxury.
Well, of course.
At the cost of his people. Yep. He is considered responsible for the death of about 20 million people in Russia. 20 million. Many of them starved to death.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 8. Somchai Wongsawat. And I know you know who that is, Ed.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't. He's another leader, prime minister, accused of using political and financial clout to buy the vote during the election in Thailand. All right. Number 7. Kim Jong-un.
I thought he'd be higher.
Well, Kim Jong-un is the son of Kim Jong-second.
Oh.
And is even worse than his father. He kills even his family and his relatives. Yeah. He's a crazy person, and he's a dangerous person. Number six, Kim Jong-2. Now, many regarded him as the supreme leader of North Korea. He did everything for his and his family's pleasure until his last day in power. So there you go. You know, it's just, they got bad family genes. That's what I think. Number five, Saddam Hussein, military leader who rose to become president of Iraq, did horrible things to the Kurds and many others. All right, number four. And I got to be very careful with how I say this name. Yingluck Shinawatra. He's the 28th prime minister of Thailand. No intelligence. She's a puppet. It's a woman who carried out the wishes of her brother, who's now a fugitive. All right. I don't know how that person got in here, but they did. Number three, Hun Sen, former member of the Khmer Rouge, became the prime minister of Cambodia in 1979. He killed his political opponents and anybody that got in his way, using brute military strength and oppression of the rights of people. All right. Number two. Ed, you got to stay on the drums. Number two is Thaksin Shinawatra, the worst leader in Thailand. He's responsible for unleashing terrible violence and dividing the Thai society. To ensure that he and his relatives stayed in power, he made all the efforts to change the constitution and control all the avenues in the democratic setup. All right, Ed. Here we go. Who do you think is the number one, considered the number one worst world leader of all time?
Hitler.
Well, you got to roll the drum to find out. You are right. Mein Führer leads the list. Perhaps the most hated, most venerated leader in world history, because they loved him in Germany. I mean, there was true love for him during his reign. But we all know what he did to the Jewish people and people around him that wouldn't toe the line. But he certainly created a well-oiled machinery. He was a great speaker, but he was crazy. And he killed millions. And, of course, World War II. That's all you got to know. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Always remember, freedom works.